time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hello and welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant. And in today's episode, I'll be talking about what's going on with Mookie Betts and Francisco Lindor and the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers 31-20, scoring most of their points in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes just needed the final minutes of Super Bowl 54 to end a whole lot of frustration. For the Chiefs, all it took was falling behind by a double digits in the postseason yet again. Then Mahomes got his game back. The 24-year-old quarterback, who was selected Super Bowl MVP, led the Chiefs to 21 straight points in the final 6 minutes and 13 seconds for a 31-20 win. Mahomes said, "We never lost faith. That's the biggest thing. Everybody on this team, no one had their head down. We believed in each other. That's what we preached all year long." He completed passes of 44 yards to Tyreek Hill and 38 yards to Sammy Watkins. The touchdowns came on short throws to Travis Kelce to cut the deficit to 3 and to Damian Williams for the lead. The very first NFL title in Reed's two-decade career was clinched when Williams had the 38-yard touchdown run. Andy Reid, who won a Super Bowl ring with the 1996 Packers while in charge of tight ends, has been seeking one as a head coach since being hired by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1999. The Eagles lost in their only trip to the big game under Reid after the 2004 season. Reid said, "That's what it's all about. What a great team. Great coaches. Appreciate every bit of it." The Chiefs' defense, confounded by the Niners' misdirection most of the game, forced a 3-and-out, which led to Mahomes hitting Watkins down the right sideline behind Richard Sherman for the 38-yard gain. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers did not have a good game late in the quarter, scoring no points in the final quarter. He said, "We'll lick our wounds and we'll get over this." This was the second time that his team got destroyed late in the final quarters while leading, which was 3 years ago when he was an offensive coordinator in Atlanta, when he was a part of the Falcons' Super Bowl collapse. Chiefs owner Clark Kent said that it's a beautiful trophy. I'm so happy for our players, coaches, and fans, and especially Andy Reid. Nobody deserves this trophy more than Andy Reid. Mahomes said, "We have heart. We never give up. And those guys around us, leaders on this team, have the mindset that we never give up." I'm going to move over to the MLB. Boston's trying to trade him to free up the cap space. So what they're trying to do is if they don't get rid of David Price, then they will be over the cap budget again. We'll have to pay more. He is really fine with it if they could get rid of Price, but the thing is that Price has not had the best couple of seasons while with the Red Sox. He had one good season, so he's not really marketable by himself. And also, it's going to be tough for them to be able to re-sign Mookie Betts next season, who goes into free agency and will probably be one of the bigger targets that teams will be trying to go after. He's probably maybe going to be in the high 200s for contract, $200 million, I think. And Betts will make $27 million in 2020 after agreeing to a record deal for an arbitration-eligible player. He is hitting a career .301 and has averaged 28 homers and 96 RBIs in his 6 seasons in Boston. If the Red Sox include Price in the deal, they'll shed at least some salary. Boston may have to eat some of Price's salary to move him, but receive less in prospect return. The The Red Sox have discussed dealing hit bets for prospects without Price involved, and then open 2020 with the with him in their rotation. But I just don't think that it's going to be possible to be able to get and trade Price by himself. But the Red Sox have talked with teams about bets availability before Christmas in the aftermath of firing Alex Cora. But one of the teams that they're most probably going to go to is they're deep in talks with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Dodgers will probably have, they have a lot of young players who will be good, who will be good trade deals for Boston. They have Alex Verdugo, who has shown himself in the regular season last year and in the playoffs a little bit. Dustin May, who has shown himself in the regular season, shown that he's a big prospect to go to try and get, for, and he's good for the Dodgers. We've been hearing Mookie Betts to the Padres, but I don't think that one's really going to happen because I just don't think that the Padres really have anybody to be available to trade because they don't really have the prospects to really, or they do, but they're trying to build more for the future, so it would be bad to have two players, Mookie Betts and Manny Machado, that are both on very highly paid salary, so it'll be hard for them to be able to get a lot of younger players and build for the future. But in Red Sox owner John Henry said his goal is to stay under the luxury tax threshold for 2020, so Betts trade would be a serious salary shedding move for the club. The trio of Red Sox pitchers Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, and David Price have also been Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, and David Price have also been rumored to be included in trade scenarios this offseason, but that's, the Red Sox would not trade. I could see them maybe trading Nathan Eovaldi, but not Chris Sale, because Chris Sale is who they just got for trading Juan Mercado, one of their best players, and they're not going to trade one of their best players in their farm system for to just get rid of him and get rid of Mookie in that same deal. And moving over to Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor's future with the Indians is unclear. And on Saturday, it got even more confusing. The four-time All-Star shortstop, who has been the subject of trade rumors because Cleveland will probably never be able to offer him a long-term contract close to what he may get one day as a free agent, Lindor said that he would love to stay in Cleveland, calling it home, but he also said that the Indians may not have made him, quote, the right thing to this point. And he questioned whether the club would ever be positioned to come up with the kind of money needed to keep him. And while discussing other massive multi-year contracts around baseball, he mentioned wanting a $500 million contract, quote, anybody wants that, he said. But he said that before saying finances aren't a factor, he said, quote, I'm not money-driven. I'm championship-driven. That's what I want. I want to win. Wherever I go, I want to win. I want to bring a championship to the city of Cleveland. This is what I do. That's my mission. I'm here and I want to win for the Indians. It has nothing to do with the money. It has nothing to do with it for years. It has nothing to do with who I like or who I don't like. It has to do with championships. The front office tries to put together a team to win, not to save money. They're supposed to try to put a team together to win. I'm here to try to win. Well, I wasn't clear if you were here to to say if you were trying to win before, because you only mentioned it a couple times in that one quote. But the Indians are in a tough spot for Lindor, who avoided salary arbitration last month by agreeing to a $17.5 million contract with incentives for 2020. He's under Cleveland contractual control until after the 2020 season when he could cash in for a payday. Based on some recent deals given to stars like Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Manny Machado, Lindor's half a billion dollar dream payout isn't far-fetched, but it isn't, because Mike Trout would be worth that. Francisco Lindor, in my opinion, is not. In the meantime, the Indians have entertained contract offers for Lindor, one of baseball's best all-around players, who may just be entering into his prime. Cleveland has declined chances to move Lindor to this point, but that could change at any time. Lindor says he pays little attention to trade rumors, and he understands the business side of baseball. But that could change at any point. Lindor said when Lindor was asked if he would take for the Indians to lock him up, he turned the question around on a reporter. "You tell me, what's the number? What's the number you'd put me?" Lindor was quoting the 7-year, $245 million contract the Angels gave to Anthony Rendon. Lindor asked how much that averaged to per season before launching into a long response. He said, quote, "A lot of money sounds pretty good. Everything sounds pretty. A lot of years sounds pretty. At the end of the day, it's what's best for me or my family, also for the Indians organization. If they don't think I can stay here because of the money situation, then I won't be here. But I do want to be in Cleveland. I love the Indians. I love their fans. The city has grown on me a lot. When is it the right time to sign an extension? I don't know when it's the right time. God has a plan for me and my family, and I truly believe it. What's going to happen is going to happen." I think that they will keep Lindor. I do not think that they will give him a super massive contract that'll be at the where Bryce Harper and those guys are. I could see it close. I could just see a couple year deal just to keep him happy, and then when he gets older and he's starting to need the money more, do that trade later in the roads. When he's only gotten them to the World Series once in his couple-year career, and so I think that they should wait a little bit and see what they get him to, or how far he takes them to in the playoffs. Moving on to the Yankees. The Yankees have had a lot of success this season. They landed their top target in early December, agreeing to terms with Cole on a 9-year, $324 million contract that is the largest contract issued to a pitcher. While the $36 million average annual salary is the highest to any player, they also re-signed outfielder Brett Gardner to a 1-year, $12.5 million contract with an option for 2021. Other good things that they have done included extending closer Aroldis Chapman contract by a year, releasing outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury, first baseman Greg Bird, and trading Chance Adams to the Royals. But what's left to do for them? GM Brian Cashman said that he remains open to if anything that makes sense, but after adding Cole, the Yankees' heavy lifting appears to be done. If Torres begins the season as the everyday shortstop, as anticipated, the Yankees may look for someone capable of pushing 3-0, Thero Estrada and Tyler Wade for the backup infield role. They'd like to add any formidable bullpen, have checked in with the Brewers regarding left-hander Josh Hader, though no deals appear imminent. I think that it would be great for the Yankees if they could get Josh Hader, because then they would have Dylan Betances, Zach Britt, and Josh Hader and Aroldis Chapman all in their bullpen, included with the star-studded pitching rotation that they have, which will probably be Severino, Cole, Tanaka, Paxton, Happ. That's their five starters, and four of those are aces, and Happ is kind of their day-to-day pitcher to see what's going on and may not be the number five pitcher. And if Domingo Herman gets back halfway through the season from his suspension, then he'll be good for the Yankees as their fifth pitcher. But, and they have a really good infield. They have Sanchez behind the plate, Luke Voit at first, DJ LeMahieu second, Torres in third baseman, Gio Urshela around the infield. They have Stanton, Judge, and Gardner with Mike Tauchman in line to back up all three positions. Clint Frazier should be in the mix for outfield corners, and the DH roles could be divided among several players, including Miguel Andujar. Like I said, on the pitching side, Cole Bejoy and Masahiro Tanaka, James Paxton, and Luis Severino in the rotation, with the final spot up for grabs between Jay Happ, unless he's traded, Domingo Herman, Jonathan Luisiaga, Jordan Montgomery, and Michael King. They'll have, if they could get Hader, it'd be great for their bullpen. And they'd have Zach Britton, Chad Greed, Tommy Canley, Ottaviano, Betances, and Chapman all in that, all there. It'd be good. They also Dylan Betances is a free agent, and so that may mix it up, but that may leave more room for Hader to be able to go into the lineup there and be able to fill in his position. So that would be good for them. Thank you for listening to E21 Go Sports. I'm Eason Durant. You can listen to us on wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to us on YouTube at E21 Go Sports and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E21 Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E21 Go Sports Podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.